Welcome to the King's Road Podcast. I'm your host, the Aries Justin Yontz, and I'm here with
Tequila Sunrise, Christopher Ross.
Tequila Sunrise. Tequila Sunrise, Christopher Di Ross. I forget the rest.
Ross Divesh, it's fine.
Okay, so we're talking Forbidden Door. What'd you think overall? I thought overall it was good.
It was a good wrestling show. Like, they're like, above all, I think that's the most important thing. I think that we all knew that everything had to get changed around due to 87 different injuries with a bunch of different people, last minute stuff. And I think they did a good job. I really think they did a good job. It was a good wrestling show. Did the matches mean anything?
I don't know. We have to see how that goes. This is spoilers, but I mean, if you're going to be watching this, I mean,
yeah,
why would you listen? I mean, of course we're going to talk about this.
Yeah.
So spoilers, I don't like the ending. I thought that made Tanahashi and it made the whole match feel like it was meaningless.
It was also the same ending that they've done in every show over the course of the last like three, that'll be the fourth. Was that the fourth show in a row that they ended with a brawl like that? But
I think so. They didn't do it at the last, I'm going to be honest with you. I like the last pay-per-view better overall. I thought overall it was a better build, but it didn't have a match the level of Orange Cassidy versus Will Ospreay. So
I can't tell if you're being serious or sarcastic right now.
I mean, that Orange Cassidy match was amazing.
That was good.
I said that to you. Well, he's going to have the greatest match ever with him. And they did. And Orange Cassidy held up his end.
We got a lot out of Orange Cassidy, and we just got a fraction of what Will Ospreay can do. So what does that tell you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was good. I think.
Should we go? Why don't we do it a little different today? Let's start with the main event, and let's work our way down. You want to do that?
Yeah, we can do that. Let's go backwards.
Who gives a
today.
Shit? If people don't like it.
It's a free show, guys. It's a free show.
That's right. That's it. You know, we're giving you entertainment here. You know, we sat through 4 hours for you. We love you all. So John Moxley versus Tanahashi. I like this match overall.
I get the story about Tanahashi's a professional wrestler, and you don't want to brawl with John Moxley. But like, when it boils down to it, when Moxley needs to like step up and show that he can wrestle, he shows up and he can wrestle. I don't think that the blood was necessary. And I
it
think
sounds
it was,
like the blood was accidental. That's what I heard. That it was accidental.
It was way too much to be accidental.
But somebody said that, like, Zaza and Alvarez, you know, our good friends at Figure Four, and they said that they bumped heads, and like that was not really wasn't intentional. Because I thought that they didn't really need, we didn't need blood on this show. This show didn't need, but since we're doing blood and guts, I think it's redundant to do.
Right.
It becomes like what the Attitude Era did, where they did so much blood it was like, or ECW. It's like,
right.
I like blood, but I want it in certain places, not every single show.
I thought it was a good match. Tanahashi's really starting to show his age.
His knees are shot.
I mean, his knees are, yeah.
He can do anything.
Right. And
it's
still
a
tell
testament
a good
to him.
Still tell a good story. This is the Tequila Sunrise, Christopher Ross Divesh today. Still tell a good story. In a match. I was doing some research on Tana, and I did not know that the sling blade used to be his finisher. And now the sling blade just looks, he probably, the innovator of the move probably throws the worst sling blade.
I don't know. I've always liked the high fly flow. That's always been my favorite. When he hits that, I just thought that is just, I mean, the fact he can still hit that move.
Well, that's why his knees are so messed up too. Boom.
It is. We heard what Hogan said. Hogan says if he could do it all over again, he would have just done a sleeper. And it's like, that doesn't sound like a very exciting move. Or he could have done his axe bomber, you know, the clothesline he did in Japan, which he should have just done. I mean, because landing, the leg drop is fine. And even the stunner, all these moves done over many, many, many years. That's why I wish Tanahashi took more of a rest. Like, I wish he did what an Omega did, is doing right now. The more you rest, the better these guys are going to be. I feel like at a certain point, they don't need to do it every night. Like, when you're learning, you should.
I think what I really liked about this match is the realist and the fantasy booker and the professional wrestling fan that I am, and I'm sure you are too, thought there's no way that they're going to give Tanahashi this title. There's no way.
I know, but I still wanted him to.
But at the same time, like this match, I was like, could they? Are they really going to go this route? And they could, which was great. But
I think the next Forbidden Door, they have to change one of the two big titles in order for it to be. But it sounds like this show was actually a huge success, gate-wise and pay-per-view buys-wise, which is great. That means it'll continue. And next year we can get Omega and Okada, which we all want to see.
So Blanket.
And they're talking about Japan, too.
They were talking about doing Forbidden Door 2 in Japan.
Which I think would be cool. I would like to see a different, like, why not?
Overall blanket statement. So I always talk about when my husband comes in and like checks out what I'm watching. Right. Which we'll get to that later.
Are you watching that wrestling? No, I'm
kidding. when we'll watching talk that about, wrestling. who his favorite wrestler was. My roommate is also what's the word I'm looking for? Not a fan, but also a very big homosexual. And he actually sat down and watched with me for about like 10 minutes. And he's like, this seems different than everything else that you've watched wrestling wise over the course of like not knowing anything. I was like, this is the difference here. And then of course we get to the main event where like we get the announcements and the blood and like everything. And we're like, yep, this is, it's like Japanese wrestling a little bit. And he's like, Oh, got it. So, it was just like, it's fun to see people that don't know the business, even when they just like watch in passing and they're like, this seems different than everything.
Yeah. Japanese and Lucha Libre, strong style. Those really attract people that wouldn't watch. Mm-hmm. Will watch that because it's a different,
completely different style. Uh-oh. I see you doing this now too.
I know. Uh-oh. My arm's just a little, frustrated. Damn it. Oh, shit.
Justin and I are dealing with torn pectorals today.
No. Mine's just my elbow or whatever. But I wanted it to go a little bit longer. I thought it should have taken a little bit longer to beat Tanahashi. It felt like it came out of nowhere to me.
Yeah, I agree. I agree on that too. It wasn't a good Death Rider. But then again, like Tana's not a head bumper. You know what I mean? He's not. I think if you would have done the Death Rider on Kota or, you know, somebody would have landed a little more like. But.
And then I thought it was good.
Great match.
But I thought it was such a disservice to all the work they did when they just headed a run in. It's like in the show. With the Japanese guy, with the New Japan guy and AEW guy shaking hands
and giving each other respect.
Not we're going to plug Blood and Guts. Everybody watching this show knows about Blood and Guts. They're
exactly.
We didn't need a stupid angle. I thought that was, I don't like the angle.
And if you go back and watch it, and I texted you this as we were watching it, but like while all this Blood and Guts thing is going on, Tana's just like on the mat, just like taking a nap. I'm just like, yeah, so I'm like, look... I was like, so Tana's just enjoying a little nap while all this is happening.
Here's the only cool. Tease. I mean, if they were going to do some kind of angle, has CM Punk or Kenny Omega come out? That's the only thing I wanted to see. That's the enough of an angle. But you're right. Yeah, Tana just sitting there laying on the mat. It's so lame. But yeah, it's a good match. I really don't want to see Moxley as champion. I didn't enjoy. I get he's really popular, and I'm sure it'll be fine. Which is why. I mean, I showed you that thing about Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
if I were them, if they have Bray Wyatt, I would have, and we don't know if CM Punk is going to make it. We don't know how long Danielson's out. We don't know how long Omega's out. So what they need to do is if they have somebody like that, what I would do in this Blood and Guts match is have it look like Kingston's about to win. And have Wyatt screw over him. So you can have Jericho move on to Moxley, because I don't think you can end because who else is there for Moxley to face? I don't want to see him face Lance Archer. That was boring. Mm-hmm. I want to see, so he's probably going to have to feud with Jericho. So I think Jericho kind of has to win Blood and Guts. So he can move on to Moxley and be like, what's next? I want to be Le Champion again. But what you don't want to do is feud him with Bray Wyatt. But you could have, if you have Bray Wyatt cost Eddie Kingston. Have Eddie Kingston and Bray Wyatt feud. They both can cut promos and they can have a brawl, and it can introduce a new Bray Wyatt of brawling.
Okay.
Which he needs to do. Because if he's coming in, he needs to be a brawler, and he's a good opponent for somebody like John Moxley.
But they've already teased what the feud is going to be, I think, within Blood and Guts, within the inner. I mean, if we're going backwards, we're going to have to skip a couple, because we've got the debuting Mr.
Yeah, we're going to get to him.
So, but that's the feud that's built in right there.
They could do that. Although I don't know. I think they generally don't like each other. It's kind of like Eddie Kingston and Bryan Danielson and Eddie Kingston and CM. They don't necessarily have to go to that feud.
Okay.
Because they don't really like each other. I mean, I think that's real. Because I mean, I love Eddie Kingston, but he really needs to work on his cardio and drop some weight. I think he would benefit from that. You saw what it's done for Jericho. You know, I'm not saying he's got to look like, you know, Batista in 2005, but he needs to drop weight so he can move faster.
Justin, body shaming is a big hot button right now in professional wrestling. So.
I know. Well, I'm not body shaming him. I'm just telling him, I think he needs to, and he needs to lose weight. That's not body shaming. I didn't say I didn't say he looked fat. I didn't say anything like that. I said he needs to lose weight so that he can move faster.
Yeah. I mean,
that's different.
That's different.
I'm giving him and I preface. And if somebody wants to debate that with me, come on down. We'll have you on the show and I'll debate it with you. And I'll tell you, look, I'm not body shaming him, but in order to do this kind of work and to have these kind of matches, you have to be in as good a shape as you can, because if you're going to keep up with a guy like Okada or Omega or Danielson, you know, you got to move.
Which I think
and
is a good trend.
I see him when I saw him run down the ring the other day, the other AEW, is like, I think he would benefit from, you know, just dropping some pounds. I'm not saying he needs to look, I'm not saying he needs to take steroids and be, you know, and look like Wardlow. I'm just saying being able to move. Yeah. Just look at what Wyatt did. Wyatt lost weight.
Look at what Gunther or Gunther Walter did, and and Miro, and they all did it. So
I don't think that's that's body shaming. I don't know. If I can't bring up that somebody can better themselves in their own realm, then I mean, that's insane.
Listen, you're talking to the guy that's gained 15 pounds in 2 weeks because I can't stop eating gummy bears. So
it's
like,
it's okay. You're not in the ring. You're not going in 15 minutes, you know, 20 minutes. I just know that it'll help him with it's transition moves.
Speaking of transition, I think this is a good transition into the Fatal Four Way, because
Say, Jay White, I know I'm jumping on you.
No, you're fine.
Jay White, you know, you got to be what a professional he is for not hitting his move on Cole because he knew he was hurt.
Yep.
And he went for the pinfall. I mean, that's called a ring awareness. That's a ring general. Somebody that like knows he's hurt, didn't hit the move. I mean, it's a sloppy finish, but
in all reality, though, like, look at who you had in the ring. Really? Yeah. Like, you did not have one person that didn't have, I think, less than 10 years of experience, right? Like, they all have more than 10 years of experience.
Yeah.
Right?
But I mean, the way that finish looked, it looked you know, they just called it right in the ring. I mean, I didn't know, because I didn't realize that, like, he was actually trying to kick out. Yeah, you're right. If you look, it reminds me of like Sting and Jeff Hardy when he pinned him, and he's like one, two, you know. It's like,
do you remember if we're talking about this Fatal Four Way, do you remember what I texted you during this about Okada? If not, I will refresh your memory.
Refresh my memory.
Everything Okada does is just so smooth.
Of course.
He is like
the way best sellers I've ever seen.
Right. But here's the deal. He can sell with a blank ass face. Like, all as actors, we talk about pulling face. You know what I mean? Like, when we're pulling emotion or this or that, we talk about pulling their face. Okada doesn't need to pull his face.
He's got like that classical training. In classical training, they teach you to emote without
pulling
the face at all.
He's just, everything that he does is so smooth. And like, not only was he directing his people, like his dance partners, but like, There's two moments in the match that I'm just like, man, this guy is on a different level than everybody else. And also, this is super cool because you're seeing somebody that's completely in a different... Everybody in New Japan knows who Okada is. The production people, the audience, everybody, right? So when you get them into a company that doesn't know who they are, really.
Yeah.
And then you have an audience, and he,
well, I go back to that when he came out on Dynamite last week, where they just hit the thing, and like the energy in the entire room changed. That was Milwaukee. And
what
they knew who Okada was.
What I loved is that he was directing the camera people, and he was also directing the audience. There's two moments. This is like the shit that I love when I watch professional wrestling. Like, it was one of the moments where he was going to the top rope to hit his elbow drop.
Oh,
and
he's like,
no, you move. And then like when he threw, I can't remember who he hit the crossbody over the guardrail on. I think it was Jay White and Adam Cole. I think he may have hit it on, and like, he threw them over and he goes, you guys move. Everybody move. Like, he's the one directing everybody.
He's a ring general.
But like, we don't get that typically.
You know who
AEW
got lost in this match was Adam Page.
Adam Page was just got lost.
He's
got lost.
The guy.
But like, they all had their really, really good moments. But like, man, just Okada is a such a pleasure to watch. And like,
I love the red tights of I love that Jay White, you know, goes with the heel thing of wearing like the different colored tights and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to be like, I love that when when Randy Orton was coming up, like in 2004 and stuff, he had like the red tights. He had the blue tights. He had that. He had that like tealish ones that that's when he beat like Chris Benoit. I noticed all the different tight colors, you know. Now he just does black and I'm just like, so boring.
One of
like, that's why I loved about Batista. He would always have the different colored tights too.
Blue Tista. I didn't
well, before that. I mean, I mean more like when he was popular, like in 05, he had like these.
Yeah.
He was wearing red tights, black tights, white tights.
Speaking of tights,
wear clothes.
speaking of tights, like one of Okada's like big stories in New Japan would be like the ornateness of his outfits, right? Like,
well, hated it when he went to the pants or whatever. I just thought that was stupid.
I'm all about, and this is coming from me, I'm all about like the ornate, like flowy, like huge, like I am this big deal kind of thing. I thought like his aura of him kind of looked generic. And even when he switched to trunks, like he would wear the gold and like flashy and like
Why didn't they have the blowers, like the Rainmaker stuff coming down? I'm like, this is AEW. Can you not afford a stupid leaf blower machine thing?
Aside from the finish, this match was so good. And I know that you wanted an elimination style match, but like
I did,
but
because that you wouldn't have had that problem like that they had, where, you know, we could have taken out Cole earlier and then we could have had that. I just think I hate the idea of the champion losing the belt without actually getting pinned. It's stupid. That's such WWE crap.
We don't want to beat anybody, so you're going to take the pin.
It's like, well, who'd you beat? No one.
I
loved about ROH would do that all the time. They would do the four-way to crown the next guy or whatever.
Yep.
Sorry, I interrupted.
How long was this match? We had a 22 minute match.
I wanted more like a New Japan style, like 40 minute match. You know, I just think same thing with Moxley. I wanted 40 minute matches.
What did we get? Did we get with Moxley? We got a,
I think it was like 30. It didn't seem like it.
It was actually 18 and a half minutes.
Yeah. See, I don't want that. I want that. If we're doing New Japan, I want the New Japan time.
Yep.
The only one that felt really long New Japan style was let's go to our next thing. So all right. So Moxley beats Tanahashi. Mm-hmm. Jay White pins Adam Cole when he has a concussion. Poor Adam Cole. I guess he's hurt too.
He was hurt though, right? He was hurt.
I think he's hurt even more now.
Yeah, he's hurt even more.
And they need more star power, and that's why I'm like, you better get Bray Wyatt. You don't have anybody.
You don't have anybody else. Not only that, you don't. I mean, like, granted, your roster is 400 people deep at this point in time,
but you need stars.
You need stars.
And they don't have any. They can continue to develop stars, but you need stars now. Yeah. And you've lost all. We don't know when Omega's coming in. We don't know CM Punk. We don't know what. So they better be bringing him in there. I don't know what the hell they're doing. Cesaro is not that level of a star where, like, if they bring in Wyatt, everyone's going to be talking about that blood and guts match. If they don't, it'll be good, but it won't reach WWE fans.
But they also
won't reach those other guys.
Good transition, but they also painted Cesaro / Claudio Castagnoli like a big ass deal. Like a big deal. And
he's not really.
No, he's not.
He's a guy that always got beat. I mean, people don't see last time I saw Bray Wyatt, I mean, he was, you know, he was never treated like Cesaro. He was always had his own program. he was either at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, or 11 o'clock. He was Fair. The opening hour of the segment. To me, that's the difference between that. I'm glad Cesaro's there. So he can now do it. We need to stop calling him Cesaro now. He's Claudio yep. Castagnoli. Hopefully they can bring in back. Let's bring in Chris Hero. Let's bring back the Kings of Wrestling.
Right.
They would be great. But I know he's with, oh, wait, I wanted to say this too. I love that William Regal came out with Jon Moxley. I thought that made it feel mm-hmm. more big time.
Oh yeah.
I like that added touch, but all right. So yeah. So Claudio Castagnoli versus Zack Sabre Jr. It was good. It was a really good match, but it wasn't what we would have gotten with Danielson. It wasn't submission moves like that.
No, not at all.
I love the selling of the arm. That was great. Psychology-wise, that's great. But he was still trying to do his WWE style. And I'm like, I don't want to see him do WWE style. I want to see him change his style into maybe a combination of a WWE and his stuff he did in ROH.
Right.
Yeah, I think that'll get really old if he does his WWE style.
I also think that he threw more uppercuts. Like,
yeah,
that
was good.
Like, I thought that he got a little bit of that, like a little bit of his old style. And like, what?
It's his first match. So I'm going to give him a break. Did you like the music? I mean, I always remember the 1841, you know.
Yeah.
Instead, they gave it some remix. I'm like, isn't that in the public domain? I mean, that's not hard to get that song.
It didn't really speak to me as much as I thought it would. I thought it was a great match. I thought it's a good... Zack Sabre is... an anomaly.
He's so good.
There's just shit that he does that I don't understand.
He's so good. That's why I want to see him against Danielson, because those two are going to come up with some match we've never seen before.
Yep.
And we haven't. So that's a nice save, but not enough for me. So this was good. Claudio Castagnoli wins. I kind of think, you know, I would have liked to seen Zach win, but you can't bring him into Blood and Guts and have him be like, oh yeah, he already lost. That's a WWE move there.
And also, like, there was a quick moment where I was like, no way they're going to have him do like a 15 second squash on that. There is no way. Come on. There's a quick second where I was like,
yeah,
but then I was good. Then
all right, so let's transition to me the match of the night: Orange Cassidy versus Will Ospreay. This is what I love about pro wrestling. This had me excited.
I think you sent a message to me. You're like, man, this is not what it. God, I can't even remember what you said. But
I'll bring it up right now.
You were like, Orange Cassidy is. You're like, Will Ospreay is going to give Orange Cassidy the match of his life. It was something.
I said, Ospreay is going to have to carry this guy to greatness.
There you go.
Best match of Cassidy's career. And, but in this match, Cassidy also helped out too. This was a form of Cassidy we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Where like he showed more that he can, I'd like to see more of that. I like the hands in the pocket stuff, but it's like, I also want to see more of like him trying to win matches. I think we're getting to the point where the hands in the pocket stuff, it's like, are you just going to be Danhausen, or are you going to try and be more of a Darby Allin and be somebody that, because I see a lot of, I told you when I've been at shows, kids dress up as this guy.
Yeah.
And he's not even like directly marketed to kids, but for some reason he gets over with children. I think he needs to be more of a guy that, you know, can wrestle, and he can. And I think this showed it.
I kind of want you to tell everybody what I said was my favorite spot in the match. Do you remember?
Let's see.
Come on. Do you remember? Aside from the fact, I will say this day in and day out, I think the Stormbreaker is
probably awesome.
The Stormbreaker is, that's not what I'm talking about, but the Stormbreaker is one of my favorite.
The way he did it on the last one, when he like hit it and he did like the spin into it, that was cool.
the hand in the pocket. Where I was like,
oh, when he put the hand in the pocket and he came up with the middle finger. That was great.
Ladies and gentlemen of the podcast universe, if you haven't noticed by now, Christopher Tequila Sunrise, Ross Divash is like a big homosexual. And like, that's not why I watch wrestling. However, every now and again, I will text Justin, who's so great when to deal with me when I talk about shit like this, where I'll be like, I do not watch wrestling because it is men in tights, this, that, the other thing.
Nothing is off limits on this show. We're going to talk about everything.
However, there was a moment when Will Ospreay put his hand in Orange Cassidy's pocket. I was like, I am here.
His hand out and it was the middle finger. And it was nice so great.
I was like, you guys, this is great. Like this.
I just thought. This was such a, I mean, it had that feeling of like, who's going to win kind of thing. It felt earned, the near falls. I wasn't sitting there going like, oh, he's going to, you know, I thought this was great. This showed why Will Ospreay is so great.
And this also showed why Orange Cassidy can be a lot more. And also, I don't remember if we said this on the air or off the air, but this was a fraction of the Will Ospreay that we've seen. And it was still amazing.
I heard everybody was amazed backstage by him. I'm like, you should be. He's like the best worker.
But he also didn't do, like, he hit his spots.
If Ricochet was smart, he'd go to WWE and come back there because he has that ability too. And they've turned him into...
Don't even get
absolutely.
Me started about Ricochet.
I don't even, he doesn't resemble anything that I saw in the, he doesn't even remember Prince Puma to me anymore. He is a guy. And that's why I never want to see Will Ospreay in WWE. We got to move on because we ain't going to get to all these matches. Last thoughts. Anything else to say about Ospreay
and Orange Cassidy? Just like great match. I love Ospreay. I think he's a star. I think it's a
I
really
think this big... is the match of the night. This is the match of the night to me.
It really is. I think it shows this is New Japan versus AEW. I think everything else.
That was the feeling. It had that New Japan versus AEW, and not a lot of things had that. And I agree with you completely. All right, so let's move on. Toni Storm versus Thunder Rosa. This was good, but I thought they needed a little bit more time to get to that finish. I felt like they were pressed for time. I felt like they just needed a little bit longer to have that classic match.
It didn't get
to the gear of I want to see those two get to the gear of Cassidy and Ospreay because I know they can get there.
I thought it was good. I was surprised that Thunder Rosa won. I love the homages to Dustin Rhodes / Goldust that she does. However, I thought that the finish looked really, really weak.
I did too. Also, she looked like she dropped her right on her head on that last. That looked brutal.
good. So I think that Toni Storm is the next. If it's not Sasha, it's Toni Storm is the next women's champion.
To me, she's the perfect baby face. There's something about her that's just innate, likable. And she is just perfect. And she doesn't feel forced. It's not like this is what Cena never had. It always felt forced. Toni feels like you just want to like
natural.
Her. There's no, and then she doesn't have to pander to you either.
And to do a callback of what I said before, like, I may be a big, huge homosexual, but like Toni Storm is hot. Like she looked really, really good too.
I think she's definitely one of the most beautiful women wrestlers
in the business, and
they've never used her for that. There's just something about. I think she's great. I'm so happy to see her having these kind of matches. Is this what she wants to do?
Yep.
And she's somebody who takes her craft seriously. And she should be champion. But you know what? I kind of like the idea of her going on a journey because I think there's. The longer it takes her to get that title, the more it'll be like, yes, she got it. you know, yeah. type of thing, as opposed to just, you know, let's just give her the belt. All right, so we got to move on.
That's
otherwise,
fine.
We ain't going to get through all these. I thought this was good. I just want 5 more minutes. Dudes with Attitudes versus Young Bucks and El Fantasma.
How do you have an 80-year-old guy like jump off like that?
He's so good. I bet you watching Sting right now is why Ric Flair wants to go back in the ring. Watching him, he's probably like, I could do that. I bet. I mean, it's just amazing how I'd like to see him change up his gear a little bit. Mm. I mean, he could still keep the shirt or whatever, but just I don't know. I just would like to see something a little different. I mean, I know he doesn't want to go shirtless, you know, or anything like that, but you know, just a little something different.
I just look at you. Our roles are reversed. Usually I'm the superficial one who's like, why is he wearing this?
And
like,
I know.
I thought this was a good match. It wasn't my favorite. This kind of felt like a utility match, but you know, the Young Bucks are really good and they put over Sting like $1 million.
Man, like it's way to put over a legendary person the way that he should be. And it's somewhere. I have to find, I almost sent it to you. There's this still shot that was released of the opening moments where it's literally Sting jumping off and he just looks like a fucking flying squirrel, like jumping off on top of everybody. And I was like, man, when you go back into if you are Sting, if you are Steve Borden, and you go back into like the archives of like pictures that you're going to hang on the wall of your career, you've got this, you've got this, you've got this. And it better be like your 75-year-old ass jumping off of.
He's so good. I mean, like, it's so happy. It's so nice to see Sting getting this from. I hated what they did with him in WWE.
And this is. This is the run that he should have had.
Yeah. This is what he should have been like. Yeah. But, and they never used him like this.
Yeah, it's so good.
So let's move on to the new belt, AEW All Atlantic Championship. I really like Miro. He's really starting to just feel like there's more they need to do with him. Like there's just something about him. He just has an innate quality that I really am enjoying. The Clark Connors guy, I joked with you, but he really won me over.
And the second the funny thing is that the second that you joked about him was like 2 minutes later is when they let him have his hot streak in the match. And like, he was good. He was good. I don't care about him. I would have rather had seen Ishii in there. You know what I mean? Because, if you're going to have a New Japan versus AEW and you're going to have white guy versus Bulgarian versus white guy, which one is the one that's coming from New Japan?
Well, I'm guessing Malakai Black and Miro are going to have some kind of a feud since he sprayed the mist on him.
Yeah.
Which is a good feud for him. And they both like to hit hard.
They both like to hit hard. They can play this whole Redeemer thing and this whole mist. Whenever Malakai mists somebody, they change in some way, shape, or form. So I just think it's a really good, I think we came out of this with a really good story. I think Clark Connors got introduced to the United States audience in a really good way.
And I think he's a good guy you can bring back.
And thank you. Yeah. For Pac, putting over Pac, who is just Pac, like
I think this title should be the title of like the workers belt, like where you just have like amazing matches.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the TV title is not, you know, or the TNT title.
Yeah.
Sorry, the TNT title is not, you know, it's not a joke, but it's also not a match that's going to guarantee you classic matches. I think this is a great match title for Rampage. I think that's what they need to do. I don't think we need more belts. They're going to need to wait for the Trios titles now, which I thought should have been the next titles, but you know, this is good.
I want to see Pac versus Okada. I just think that
Pac versus both, Okada.
I just think that they're just both really smooth ass workers that like will can probably put together a super slick, effortless, but make it look like it's crazy. I think Pac is on that level. I think Pac is on that level where
absolutely. Like, I think this is a good move. All right, so let's move on to so the IDWGP tag team titles. FTR win. I thought this was a really good match. They teased the injury because everybody thought he was another injury, but they used it to the story. It was all worked. It's good. I'm happy to see FTR getting the run that they deserve. They're great.
I messaged Justin during this point and I was like, no way, please God, no, like not another person. Like this isn't, please tell me. I know that you always make fun of me. You're like, not everything is work. I was like, just let me, please. And then he came back out.
Was work.
And then he came back. And then he came back out and I was like, thank you.
It was great. And they won. And I think they're a good team to travel to New Japan.
Oh, 100%.
And go because back and forth. And they're great.
And now they just need to beat the Young Bucks. Like, here's the deal. Like, I love a belt collector gimmick. I love when Kenny Omega was doing his belt collector gimmick.
I think this is a much better. This is getting over this belt collector more than Kenny Omega's was.
Right.
Omega's never felt like they did enough with it. It just felt like,
and he was also a heel at that point in time, even though like, I don't think that there's any real delineation of face and heel when it comes to like people like Kenny Omega, but
yeah, at FT, I feel like having those belts, all these belts enhances FTR. Yep. I mean, I was there when they won the AAA titles in Miami. So, I mean, and I thought that was just going to be a short reign and it's like become this thing where it's like, oh, they just keep adding belts.
Yeah,
and I like it. It adds up. It adds to them. All right, so let's move on to the first match of the night. It was Chris Jericho, Sammy Guevara, and Minoru Suzuki. We got the full Minoru Suzuki entrance. Thank God. Man. Eddie Kingston, Wheeler Yuta, and Shota Umino. Shota, he really impressed me. And I like the fact that they showed that that Jericho attacked him when he was young.
I loved that. And then I love the continuation where he throws a fireball into his face. Like, great.
Yeah.
Like I love continuity. I love continuity. Number one, number two, shit. What was I going to say? Not Sammy, Minoru Suzuki, this is exactly what I was talking about when I just said like Kenny Omega when he was a heel, where he wasn't really a heel. Minoru Suzuki is like this detestable, like hard-hitting, awful character that we're supposed to buy, but like what the
nobody
fuck
hates
man?
Him
nobody hates him. Like he is like, man,
nobody's ever gonna boo him. No,
you just want to see that guy just rip somebody to shreds.
I mean, I was lucky to see that match that he had with Danielson, where he gave him the forearm and it looked like he killed him.
Like you just want to see, like you want to see him kick the hell out of somebody and like beat the shit out of somebody, just as much as you want to see somebody beat the shit out of him. And that he is a transcendent person without even doing anything crazy. Like, he's hard hitting, but he's like, he's not doing anything that is mind boggling or mind blowing athletically. He's just getting the shit kicked out of him and like giving some of the stiffest blows. Man, I love Suzuki. I love him.
Now, all right. So Shota Umino, he needs to have a feud with Jericho. I think probably not now because Jericho is probably going to have to move on to Moxie's. He has nobody else. They've got nothing else. So they need to do that. And I don't know what they're going to do for All Out. If they have Wyatt, they might have to do Wyatt because I don't know what else you build to.
I mean,
ready to do this?
We talked about this last week, where we could fantasy book the rest of the year. If this were like, like two and a half weeks ago, we're like, now we can't. We have no idea what's going to happen. We have no idea who's doing what. So, yeah.
I thought this was a good match, though. Jericho wins. They have the man advantage. Thank God they didn't do the TNA thing where we're going to get the baby faces, the man advantage. It's like, well, what's the psychology then?
Yeah.
Yes, it is predictable that the heels always get the man advantage, but that's because the match doesn't work if you don't have a man advantage.
Yeah.
The match doesn't work then. It's just kind of one of those things, and you kind of just accept that's wrestling, but it works. I can't wait for Blood and Guts. I think it's gonna be good, but I think Jericho kind of has to win to continue this feud.
I'm wearing my Detroit hat today. It's my
Detroit hat. So let's move on to those last 4 minutes, her 10 minutes. Let's talk about John Cena coming back to Raw. I didn't like this. It reminded me so much of when Rock came back in 2011 and they just gave a whole Raw for his birthday and it meant nothing. I know they can't shoot an angle with Austin Theory yet because it negates the match with him and Lashley, but it's like, I don't want to see this. I don't even like when Austin does it, when he just comes out and it leads to nothing. I'm like, I don't want to see guys just come out and have a hometown welcome. It's boring. I want to see them lead to something. I want to see matches. I want to see feud. I don't want to see let's cheer because I've been in the game so long. It's like, that shouldn't even be a part of wrestling. That's so outside of the business.
And can we talk about like how everybody's like clapping and shaking hands and like all of like, why do you have people like the Miz?
Yeah, why are heels out there all standing on the stage? I hate that standing on the stage thing. It makes them all just look stupid. I've always hated it.
If it's a tribute to like a fallen superstar.
Yeah, that's fine. That means it. But now we're having a guy come out and be like, oh, thank you. You know, it's like, it so negates the idea. It's just they have no idea how storytelling works. They never did that with Austin.
No.
Austin didn't come out. Even when Owen Hart died, they didn't have at the end of the show like they would today.
Yeah.
You know, the whole crowd coming out. They just had Austin come out. He's drank a beer, he toasted Owen Hart. That was it. They didn't have him. They didn't have the whole crowd. It's like, so I'm supposed to suspend disbelief for this, but not for this. That's that TNA. I'm like, what are we watching? Is this the show or is this?
But also,
who
did you have introduce him to?
Yeah, Vince McMahon, so that he can come on TV again to say, I'm still here. It's like, it was good the first week. Now it's like, I don't know. I don't care. I don't really care about this. Oh, but the one good thing I was happy about is Riddle is in the Money in the Bank.
Yep.
As I said, Riddle should win Money in the Bank, and Riddle should beat Brock Lesnar. Yeah, actually, you know what? Do the WWE thing. Have Brock Lesnar finally beat Roman Reigns. And then have Riddle cash in on him, or have it the other way around. I mean,
or have it where you have the moment where they're both down, and then you have Riddle come out. Because isn't when Seth?
Yeah.
Won
his, oh yeah, they could do
when,
that. Yeah.
When Seth cashed in, it was still in the middle of the match, right?
Yeah, like, you could do that. Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it kind of negates a lot of, I mean, when they did that, it kind of destroyed a lot of the times when the ref would have to wait for the guy to get up before they'd ring the bell. If he could just come in and interfere in a match. But if that didn't happen at that WrestleMania, that WrestleMania would suck. That's probably like the last other than this last year's WrestleMania, that was like the last one that like felt like, oh, it's for the fans.
Yep.
Ever since then, it's just been whatever this company wants. And it's never been fun to watch.
That's the way to go. You give Riddle the Seth Rollins treatment when it comes. And then you have a built-in feud with Seth Rollins because Seth Rollins did the same thing with the same people.
Or you could bring in Almost. How do you say Amos? Amos. I can never say his damn name.
I think we need to start a drinking game with how many times it takes you to say his name properly.
You know what's so amazing is how much people look back on like the character Muhammad Hassan and like still remember that character and fondly. Like somebody is still making CEWs, like creative wrestlers on the video games. Of Muhammad Hassan. Like he had a half a year at best, but for some reason he really, I mean, I think the plan was for him to win the title, you know,
yeah,
or at least face Batista. But then they thought that the wonderful idea of let's do a terrorist angle right before it here. And it's a taped show. You could have edited it off. It was so stupid. But anyways, almost.
What are we looking? So Justin, here's something. Before we wrap up, what are you looking forward to over the course of the next 2 weeks? So like we've got Money in the Bank this weekend, right?
Is blood it
this
and guts. Weekend?
Yeah, we've got Blood and Guts. We've got Blood Saturday. And Guts. We've got Money in the Bank. And we've got a bunch of different ways that we can go. So like, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Matt Riddle finally becoming the champion that he should have been a year ago.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to that. I think that's the right way to go. It looks like Reigns wants to go do Hollywood. So let him start doing Hollywood and do Rock and Roman at WrestleMania, which it seems like I think the two things that they're going to do is Rock and Roman at WrestleMania and Rousey and Becky. I think those are the things that are set in stone.
And there you go.
I know Cody fans aren't going to like that, but like, I'm sorry, Cody's not as big as The Rock. If you have The Rock, you're not just going to, they're going to go with the bigger money.
And you've got
the way it is.
And you've got so many other feeds that you can do with Cody when it gets to that point in time. And anyway.
Yeah. So anyways, and then I'm looking forward to Blood and Guts. That should be a fun match.
I mean, like
a fun match.
I can't. So when Forbidden Door opened up, you're like, man, this looks like a big show. Like this looks like a legit arena.
I love having the two announcers thing. I thought that added something special to it.
I can't wait to see what Little Caesars Arena is going to look like.
How big is that arena?
It's like, I mean,
is that the biggest arena? I mean, it's not Ford Field.
It's not Ford Field, but and it's not Comerica Park, but it's like it's a basketball.
Comerica Park. Is that where is that? Is
Comerica,
that like the...
So the way that Detroit is structured is that there's Ford Field, which is the Lions, which is like Super Bowl, which was WrestleMania 23. There's Comerica Park, which is the stadium, the like baseball. That's where the Detroit
and then
Tigers.
So the Pistons, they play at season. Yep. Okay, then it's big. Then it's a big show. Yeah.
The Pistons and the Red Wings both play at Little Caesars Arena.
Then that's a huge arena.
It's a huge arena. It's where every touring like musical act. Okay.
That's gonna be awesome to watch because there's something about. I know they're in Duluth, Georgia next, and I'm like.
I mean, I think.
What is that gonna be?
I mean, Ron. When Ron SmackDown tour. To Detroit, they go to Little Caesars Arena. It used to be Joe Louis. Like Joe Louis was where. Yeah. So Joe Louis is.
So there's something about the big arenas that just give AEW a special feel.
I can't wait to see what AEW looks like. Yeah. And like, there's always something special about, for me, seeing my hometown arena on television.
And that's why I think it's the perfect time to debut Wyatt. If you have him, debut him there. Otherwise, why? It's the perfect match. Give him the cane. It's a spooky match.
But it's also a big wrestling community. Like, we have a huge wrestling community.
Yeah,
like
Detroit's always been
back in Michigan, and like you've got like there.
I mean, we're talking about the team that pretty much figured out how to beat the shit out of Michael Jordan until he built a team to defend himself against the Pistons.
Yep.
I mean, that's what I think of that. You know,
and we're also talking about Hill. And then we're also talking about the team that like had a full on brawl for all with the Indiana Pacers, like back in the day. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, like Detroit's where we don't fuck around.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
But yeah,
I'm glad you're making it. I didn't know how big an arena that is, and that's good.
It really
they
is.
They need to be going to those big arenas.
I'm really excited to see what it's going to look like. So
I want to state is All Out. They said it's in September, but they didn't say where it is.
Right.
Should they do a stadium show?
I say Madison Square Garden. Like, bring it to a Madison
Square
Garden. But
they can't do Madison Square because they're doing the Grand Slam.
Ah, that's right. Grand Slam is at Madison Square. I forgot.
Well, no. It's in the where they do Wimbledon
tennis,
or whatever.
Where they do
it's
tennis.
The big. It's a big. I like the way that looked on TV.
Yeah.
And they said that they're going to be ready this time. They're a security team. So I don't know. Where do you go?
Philly. You can't go back to Chicago. You can't do Vegas.
Philly.
Philly.
Yeah, I really don't want to see them go back to Chicago again. I'm just like. Really? Are we just going to do Chicago? It's like what Ring of Honor would do with Philly and Chicago. Like
When is All Out again? It's September?
Like 3rd.
Okay, I was going to say you can't bring them down here because you can't do like a stadium
they've had
show
too
down
many
here.
They've done too many shows down here. They did, yeah, they did the Miami one and they need to go somewhere else. I would say LA or Philly. That's different. I don't think they've run there.
I think Philly's a
good
choice.
Texas. They could do Texas too. But they're not ready for AT&T. That's way too big of a state.
Yeah, exactly.
But I would like to see them get to that. Or maybe Toronto. We talked about that. Toronto could be it too. All right, sir. The truth. Right.
Shall.
Sit.
You.
Free.
Free.